Standing in Air presents Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Your home for NASCAR in the Valley. It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at the Glen and hear from, you already know who won. We head to Richmond this weekend, where hopefully the racing is a little better than previous Richmond races. If you can't tell, this morning when I was doing this, I just wasn't in a great mood. Cup standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings, and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right is all things Alabama, no longer sideline reporter. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. Gets me with about three different false openings each week now. And that's,
well, we're just trying some things and seeing if they work out.
Super duper.
So far, we're not having a lot of success.
Well, and that's
much like our normal fantasy lineups. We're just throwing things at the wall and hoping it happens. But a little rebound for the guys this past week.
Well, for two of us.
Two of you.
Yeah. Somebody, you know.
Third stage crept up on me, and
If you had just picked Bubba Wallace.
No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. So some drivers this week had motor issues, or maybe they should have been. That just cracked me up. Nope.
Just made yourself laugh.
Yep. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. That is true. Providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off Northley Highway. Give them a call, 472-423-479-3365, and get back on the road today on the heater dud meter. Where does the Glen rank? I got it in a 6.
Okay, six out of five. That's
correct.
I'm gonna give it a 4.
Bum.
I'm gonna give it a 4.
I thought you'd go better.
I didn't think it was all that great. I've seen some good Watkins Glen races. I just didn't think it was all that great. I watched the Xfinity race on Saturday. Thought it was better.
They were all bunched up.
Yeah,
at the front.
And one of the biggest wrecks I've ever seen on a road
and
course.
And Ben Ginsberger
16
got
cars.
Yeah, that was good. What about you, Scott?
It was average. That wasn't anything.
3.5.
On this scale, I don't know where it ranks. We're adding numbers, subtracting numbers. Where
0
we're
to
at.
5.
I just added a number because it really sucks.
Well, it's to be honest, comparing it to past Watkins Glen races, it was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I thought that there wasn't as much intrigue. Now, part of that is you got a guy that's absolutely figured the car out on a road course. That's just making it look easy, but there just wasn't enough to keep me engaged throughout the race. So, we've got a guy that is just could go down as one of the best road course racers this sport has ever seen. Now, and I'm sure we're going to get into this.
Oh, we're going
later.
We're going right now.
Yeah.
You know what's
But as far as his skill at that task that's being asked, he's as good as we've ever seen in the sport.
Let me say this.
What, 4? That's 4 road course wins this year?
Yeah. And how many did he win last year? 2? 1? He won Chicago the first year.
Won Chicago the first year.
Had mechanical issues last year.
Didn't win any last year.
Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head.
So I'm going to go with this. If you look at his Australian supercar stats.
Yeah.
I had a crack research team looked this up today, and his stats are 80 wins, 40 poles out of 508 races. He's got 3 championships, 4th most successful driver in Australian supercars.
But
if you look at Australian supercars,
that's a pretty good win clip there.
He's good at where you had to be good in Australian supercars. Most Australian supercars, they're running road courses. They're not running ovals down there. So.
Right.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he is good, and it's obvious. By
I don't
the
even
fact
know if you can label him good.
He's great by the type of equipment he is making great. Nobody else can do that. So Suarez is not winning in that stuff.
Chastain's one car's not been, winning in that.
It's been up and down.
But he's not that good on road courses. No. Well, I guess my point is like if your car is that good where you're dominating like he dominated, you would think the other guys should be able to do that
don't
as well.
Don't you think that's why Mark's brought him in, though? Because, hey, this is a guy that we know. We got eight road courses on the schedule. We know this dude is absolutely going to compete for wins eight times a year. Throughout all of NASCAR, now let's take the Gibbs and maybe the Hendricks out of the equation. But you tell them there's eight races that as long as something mechanical doesn't happen, you're probably a 50-50 shot to go out and win. I'm hiring that dude right now. That's a bunch of wins. That's a bunch of money I can make by selling advertisement and sponsorship and all that other stuff when I know this dude's in the car. I think it's I tip my hat. I think it's great for the sport. Now, the debate we often get into is whether or not this guy is actually a championship contender. He's not good enough yet on the ovals. But if he ever figures that out where he can be, okay? Then you're talking about a legit guy that could win because he can. There's eight times a year. He's probably going to, if not win, he's going to be right in the mix. He's going to, just like he has this year. He's got all kinds of playoff points. It's going to be hard to knock him out.
He's going to start third. You've got Denny Hamlin with 24, Larson with 23, and then you've got
some bonus. You got some bonus points based upon the regular season championship.
Maybe fourth.
Yeah. So at worst, he's going to be fourth, and as long as they're not absolutely terrible, I don't even know if it would matter at that point. He's going to be.
He's
going to
make it
in
the second round.
Yeah.
So the question is,
in the second round, has the Roval?
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's the thing is that you've got there's a path, and he's not that good on the Roval, I don't think, just because that's got a little bit of oval in it that makes it a little more difficult.
But if you can make up time through the road,
oh yeah,
I mean, it's a breeze for him.
I don't know where he finished there last year, but it seems like it's one of those things where that might be a little bit of a difficult task. But so I guess here's my deal. A lot of the conversation that has happened on NASCAR podcast, NASCAR radio, this week is do you have that?
No, okay. I haven't got it yet.
Is about how do we label Shane Van Gensbergen? What in 20 years are we going to look back and say, all right, SVG was this? Is it going to be the road course ringer, the road course guru? What? Is it going to be
what Gordon is the all-time road course winner? Now granted, they didn't run as many as they do now, but Gordon's got eight, nine
and most of the other guys were subbing. They had sub drivers come in to ringers or whatever supposedly to be able to beat him. But I guess that's the thing is like if he wins a championship, I'm almost in now on like, all right, well, you won this many races throughout the year. If you could do well enough on different disciplines to be able to win the champion, then you're a champion. I don't know. I wonder where we've never had
you
anybody like
you
this.
Just admit it. You just don't like it.
I just go back to the single point that a few years back, you know, I guess I don't remember how many years it was, nobody would have been raising all this cane if a guy like Ryan Newman pointed his way in the homestead and end up winning a championship
and
without
he
winning
came,
anything.
Right. He came within a fender of winning it anyway.
Yeah, nobody would have blinked an eye. I mean, it might have. Well,
because
I
that
take,
was kind of
that.
Close, though, to the Winston Cup. I mean, that was closer,
I
guess.
Yeah, but this dude, but he didn't win anything in the regular season.
Yeah.
Nothing. But then he would go point his way in to win a championship. So what would be more deserving?
Yeah, I mean,
he would have more consistency.
I think it's just for me, I know the answer, right? I mean, is he deserving to be in the championship conversation?
By these rules, yes.
Sure.
100%.
Yeah. Does that mean I like it? No. I mean,
I was going to say, that's really what this whole conversation is about. You just don't like
but
it.
But I'm going to respect the fact that he's got a history of success, and he's able to drive these cars in not a good car.
How dominant could he be if they have better stuff and he starts to figure out ovals, or at least – let's say mile and a half. So let's say he's really good. He ends up figuring out, because we go to so many mile and a half, so we go to so many road courses. If he figures some of that out, he is definitely going to be a championship material.
Last year's Roval, racing for Colleague, he finished seventh.
Yeah. So he's a track house now. So it's, yeah. I mean, listen, he could do it. He could get in. Do I want it? I don't know. Because to Jason's point, I understand. Look, if Ryan Newman points his way in and gets there and wins the championship, I can't do anything about it. It's the way it is, right? I mean, so it's the way it is with Van Gensburger. You know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation because he would only maybe have two wins.
Two wins.
Say Alex Bowman gets in. Dude's sitting there with no wins.
Yeah.
What if he goes to the Final Four and he wins? Is he more deserving than this dude that won four road courses?
Well, that would mean he would have had to have finished better at the other tracks as far as an average goes. Yeah. Than, because to me, like, how can you win four races
and be 25th?
And be 25th? I mean, that means you literally had to suck the rest of the races in order to finish 25th in points. No,
on that no point, we agree. Points.
So, yes. So if we agree on that, I guess, then where's the disconnect in the other side? So if we ended this series right now, we'd have William Byron, who's on a suck streak. No, I think he's back. He's just had a couple of good weeks. Chase Elliott finished 26th, the former road course ringer. I don't know where Denny Hamlin finished. Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson dead last, having issues, and I think his average finish is like 20th or 18th or 20th.
He's quietly over the past 5 weeks. For the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, right now we got William Byron with two race wins winning the championship. So, I get the whole thing. It's just, I don't know. So, back to my point.
Did he finish 25th?
Do you have a point? Yeah. That's the question I have.
Well, I had a question. How's he going to be remembered? How would you remember Shane Van Gensburgen? Say he goes the next 2 or 3 years before he retires because he looks a little long in the tooth. And he wins, rattles off 8 more, 9 more road course wins, but doesn't win a championship.
I don't think that's going to diminish the skill. He would be labeled the greatest road course racer in NASCAR history.
It would be one of the greatest stories in NASCAR history. This dude wins a championship.
Because we've had guys from other disciplines come into the sport. Juan Pablo Montoya, probably the biggest name of them all. Ambrose. There's been people that have come into the sport. But those guys, I don't even know how many times Montoya won.
He did a really good job of hitting the
greatest. We'll always remember him because he made it was the greatest thing I've ever seen at Daytona, probably. Just destroying the air dryer or something like that?
Jet dryer.
But we've yet to see guys come in, and they've talked about road course ringers in the past and this and that. We've yet to see a guy come in and just win races, regardless of where it's at and what kind of racing it's been. Juan Pablo Montoya did not dominate road course racing.
He won two.
Two races.
Sonoma in 2007 and Watkins Glen in 2010.
So he won two. He's won. Now, granted, there's more opportunities now.
Right.
So, you know, you can take all that. You can take that into account. But because there's more road courses in there, he is going to lead. If nothing happens and he keeps on this trajectory, he is going to win more road course races than anyone else in history. That is going to make him. You could even make the argument he could almost be NASCAR Hall of Fame worthy. But if he's going to have true success in the sport from top to bottom, they have to get better at racing when they're just going in a circle.
So you put him in the 5 car at Hendrick Motorsports.
I would love to see him in the 5 car.
Does that change the trajectory he's in?
But couldn't you say that about a lot of dudes in this sport if they were running Hendrick equipment?
Well, it's obvious the equipment is decent if he's able to win as much as he's.
I don't know if it's equipment or if it's just he has a better skill set, a more seasoned skill set than everybody else in that format, and just can outperform. How good would he? You can't tell me that the cars. And the amount of money that are put into the cars are even – well, I'm sure they're comparable. But the expectation would be whoever sits in that 5 car is going to have a pretty fast race car.
Yeah, I can see that.
And who sits in the 88 car, a lot of that may be determined by how much the driver can get out of it, not that it's just automatically a fast race car.
You know, I think this team – you know, the one thing that you can take away from this is it shows them where they need to work at. you know, you've learned a lot of things this year. You've learned that he can dominate these road courses. So let's go back to the drawing board in off season. Let's figure this thing out and be competitive in more races across the, you know, the whole season.
So, I mean, I'm just sitting here staring at Wikipedia and the most wins by a driver in NASCAR history. And so where's he at? Like seventh right now? Has he got seven wins?
No, he's got five.
He's got five wins.
Gordon's got nine.
Gordon's got a lot more just regular wins, just on road courses.
I was looking at road courses.
But I mean, you've got, you know, Richard Petty with 81 Cup wins, David Pearson with 47, Gordon with 64, Allison 66, Walter Petty 4. But you can go down where you know he's got more. This can't be right. He's got Kevin Harvick with that's from 71 to 2003. Anyway. Let's just say he's probably on the first page if you listed 50 drivers in number of wins.
Five is a lot.
Yeah.
In this sport. And it's as long as we're going to continue to do these street circuits and road courses, it's not going to be the last he's going to win. He is going to leave the sport with well into the double-digit wins. If the schedule remains the same and he, you know, something doesn't get hurt, something doesn't happen, he still's got a ride and all that sort of stuff. But this dude is going to compete because we go to so many road courses now.
Here we go. He's got tied with the same amount of wins with Wood Burton. He's tied with Austin Dillon, tied with Dan Gurney, tied with Alan Kowicki. Career got cut short. Tied with Jeremy Mayfield, tied with Ralph Moody. He's ahead of Bobby Hamilton, Herschel McGriff, Joe Nemechek. I mean, Ken Schrader. He's ahead of Ken Schrader.
But how many years has he been running full time?
That's what I'm saying.
One.
Well, yeah. Because you go, Ken Schrader's run forever, right? Eric Almirola, Chase Briscoe. I mean, some of these guys now are in the series. But, I mean, we always thought Brian Vickers, you know, Marcus Ambrose, come from Australia, only had two wins. So, I mean, there's just a lot of people that he's ahead of now that, you know, it's just – Kind of throws you for a loop. Yeah, Juan Pablo had two, and I could keep going down through and having boring radio. He's got Mario Andretti beat, so that's a good thing too.
There
Just a lot of things to try to figure out, and I think the NASCAR media world is trying to figure him out too. They want to be able to label him as something and not being able to do that. All right, a couple of drivers. I mentioned Bubba Wallace with another top 10 finish. Jason, I won't even ask you about this. Scott, for Bubba, it was the 45 car that was dominating that program, and now that's flipped the script, and the 23 car is now doing really well.
They found something, and we've talked about it for a while. The one thing with Bubba has been consistency, and they're starting to – that team, the 23 team, is starting to show some week-in and week-out consistency, and that's only going to lead to bigger and better things. You can't – if you give yourself enough opportunities – things are going to break your way and you're going to win some races. And when you're putting yourself consistently in that top five, top seven, top 10 mix, that is going to be the difference and give you those chances. He's a good driver. He's got good equipment. They have something positive going, and this is an excellent time of the year to get that mojo going as we're getting ready to kick into the playoffs.
Jason, Kyle Larson, pretty much non-existent. We talked about early finish, dead last with mechanical issues. The last five races, average finish is 21st, but you flip over and you look at the points and he's sitting in fifth. Not a good time to be season-wise to have the momentum kind of going backwards for that team.
No, but if there's anybody that I think could turn it around, it's him. You know, you've seen some bad luck. You've seen some issues out there with the five car. But, you know, we've got this week and next week before the playoffs start, I expect him to get it turned around before then.
Looks like with the Hendrick team, it's kind of flipped. It's not the 9 and the 5 that are doing well now. It's the 24 and the 48 as Alex Bowman's had a couple of good runs along with the 24 getting a good rebound. All right, so let's jump into our stock finisher of the week.
Stock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Two generations of Caldwell Paving and Grading. Give them a call for all your asphalt needs, 423-336-3841. I was going to be a smart aleck go with Shane Van Gensbergen. Shocked that he won, but I'll go with Kyle Larson, dead last finish.
Same here.
Well, that was going to be mine, too.
I think we all agree. Nobody expected him to finish dead last.
All right. The last person I want to hear from is Shane Van Gensbergen, but it's Victory Lane interview brought to you by Quick Check Convenience. Mark, you can get that 100% gasoline for that lawn equipment. Get those last couple of weeks of lawn care taken care of. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road here in Cleveland. Stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Like the first stint, Ryan was driving really well and his car looked really good, a little bit better than ours at that stage. And then at the end of stage two, when all the pitting was happening and all the strategies sort of went their separate ways, I really didn't know how it was going to be. And I just had an amazing restart, start to stage three, managed to pass people before the tires got hot and got a gap on all the people that were on the same strategy as me. And yeah, definitely not easy. Like the last stint was okay, but that stint, you know, that's when I was pushing flat out, and yeah, pretty cool to do that. And then you get that tire delta as well, and I could sort of cruise and know that I had decent tires if the late yellow came.
Yeah, it is pretty difficult, Shane. It's hard to pull for you, Shane. That's the whole thing. All right, anything that's put on social media for us that looks halfway professional is done by WebOb Digital Marketing. They could do the same for you. Go to webob.com. Hey, quick shout out to the people in Hamilton County. I know three people lost their lives. Did the flooding or whatever. The thing kind of just hung out over Hamilton County and it was pouring rain, and they had a ton of rain down there. I know that's challenging, and a lot of hearts and prayers go out to those people in Hamilton County. All right, we get back. News in the world of NASCAR right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. On ESPN Cleveland, 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio. On ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. This, David Lee Roth.
Van Halen.
David Lee Roth.
I'm almost going to mute your mic.
Well, the only reason I'm saying is because I saw a video recently of...
Yeah, he's nowhere close.
Yeah, he can't sing like that anymore. So that's crazy. All right, news in the world. NASCAR is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy.
It's also probably like 80 years old.
Yeah, maybe. So. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. That insurance of yours, denying your weight loss drugs. Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for as low as $154. Find out more information, go to 570 Mouse Creek Road or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, a couple of news
probably
items.
Probably not doing no big karate chop kicks anymore.
No.
Blake, break a hip, blow out a knee.
I just know somebody on the comment of the picture, it said look like a little thing of lifesavers down there. I don't want to go into that. Goodness. All right, Rick Ware.
This show's gotten out of control.
Legacy
already.
And Rick Ware Racing, Legacy is suing RWR for a charter. And or the use of the charter, a bunch of stuff going on there. The judge has promised a ruling by the 22nd of August, so that'll be over with. Connor Zilich, dominated at Watkins Glen. Stood up on the side of his car to celebrate in Victory Lane and fell, broke the collarbone, had surgery yesterday, or last night, I think, and is doing well today, out indefinitely. One of the things, that dude would probably win the championship. And
now he's just...
They're not ruling anything out. You know, the Xfinity race, the series does not race this week.
But with a collarbone, unless you're driving one-handed, I don't know...
I mean, the next race is Daytona.
4 weeks away?
There's no way I'm racing at Daytona.
Absolutely not.
Not with a broken collarbone.
But you got to think probably
break a collarbone at Daytona anyway.
Yeah. With one shot, so...
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, it's big with him is when do you come back? And then, it's not like it was a racing incident. It was something afterwards, but they gave Chase Elliott, they've been pretty consistent with giving people options and letting them come back. So, all right, it's time to go to those NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you by Bree Maia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is a realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, why don't you take it away?
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series standings. After the Go Bowling at the Glen, it's William Byron as your points leader. Is a 42-point lead over Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, and Kyle Larson, the struggling Kyle Larson, in fifth. Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, Alex Bowman, and Chris Buescher, your top 10. Bubba Wallace, Ryan Preece, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Kyle Busch, and Austin Cindric are your top 16. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Brought to you by Bree Maya. Crylock Realtors. Give her a call, 1269-598-6243 for all your real estate needs. Boys, I dropped the middle one off Saturday at Piedmont University, a couple of half hours away. I don't know if y'all, well, I know you hadn't, Jason, but I don't know if you've dropped them off that far before and then left them. It's one of the things as a dad when you're like.
There's times I was super excited to drop them off that far.
Had to come back and get on the lawnmower, and those dang those onions kept jumping up out of the out of the ground, getting in my eyes. So it's pretty tough. Hey, real quick to Andy Morris, that is he does the sports drive on the local station here in Cleveland, 101.3 ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Him and his wife on January 25th lost their newborn baby, and so he didn't bring it out, I think, until yesterday. Started talking about it, but. Just want to give a shout out to them. I know that's difficult. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. So I'm just doom and gloom today is what it is, right? I mean, some floods down there. Got people, kid. I mean, maybe it's just an emotional wreck. Hey, that's what it is.
We're here to lift you up, people.
That's that's all we're trying to do is talk about. Well, if Shane Van Gisbergen wouldn't have won, I'd probably been in a better mood. So, all right, it's time to move on to the next race. Thank goodness. We'll do it right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Amy Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Listen, I hate it, but it's getting that time of year where cold weather is just around the bend. You want to make sure that heater's working. Give Dale a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call dales.com. All right, time to move on to the next race in life. Your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member into their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call. Got to put that 423 in front of it now, boys. Yeah. 423-763-1000. Our partners at MRN interviewed a couple of drivers this past week, one being Josh Berry. Ask Josh Berry, that drives the Motorcraft Ford for the Wood Brothers. How is Richmond different under the lights?
And I've ran some Xfinity races in the day and, you know, difference in the Cup Series. I don't know that it's too much different one way or the other. You know, obviously the track is faster at nighttime, but I thought we saw some good racing there last year. I think that sometimes that opens up the second groove pretty well. So, yeah, that's one that, again, I'm, you know, really looking forward to getting to. It's, you know, I feel like I missed out on some opportunities to win in there in the Xfinity Series. Had really good races there, but just never closed one out. And it's been a good car for me in the Cup Series, too, so I'm excited to go there and run with 21 group.
Definitely a kind of a good track for Fords in the past, especially recently one of those in the Roush Fenway Keselowski camp is Chris Buescher, and he was asked, where is RFK's short track program at right now? And this may determine, as I'm doing my starting lineup, what he says.
You know what, our short track stuff has definitely taken big steps forward. I laugh about it now because we've had a lot of really good runs at Richmond and been able to win there, but it wasn't that long ago where we wanted to fill the place with dirt and build apartments on it or something. I didn't care, right? Just make it go away. It was a struggle. And so we're not there at this point. We are well beyond that. Iowa was a little bit of a mixed bag, but really, I know we always used to compare Richmond and Iowa with the repave and just a couple of sections of the corners. I just don't get very many similarities inside the race car anymore between the two, at least not right now until it probably ages out a lot more. So kind of put the Iowa one behind us because that was one that wasn't a really strong weekend for us, knowing that Richmond, another racetrack where we've been able to win before and have a lot of confidence going into, I think that we will be very strong.
Really good battle there last year with Brad Keselowski, the 17 and the 45 of Tyler Reddick. So super pumped when we get this at night and we get this on a Saturday night. We'll talk about the schedule in just a second. My man Kyle Busch was asked, does Austin Dillon's success at Richmond last year give you added confidence as he wrecked, I think, three people getting to the finish line?
He did.
Give you added confidence heading into this weekend?
And that's definitely something to look at for as good as he was in that race. You know, we've had some good speed there last year and the year prior, but the fall race last year for Austin was much better than we ever were. So we got a couple third-place finishes out of Richmond the past few years, but Austin being as good as he was and driving to the front and deserving of that victory gives us a lot to look for and replicate.
Definitely kind of fun last year in the, at night or whatever, Austin reckoning, and then getting the win taken away from him,
yeah.
which was kind of a bummer. So, all right, the schedule for this weekend is brought to you by Clarity Property Management. For all your property management needs.
Take two,
yeah. Give them a call, 423-458-2600. Heat up schedule.
So, Xfinity's off this week. They will race at Daytona next week. So, really, you've got the mods, you know, on Friday, I'm sorry, Thursday, 7:30, on nothing. So Friday,
Flow Racer.
Yep. FS1, truck race, 7:30. Then on Saturday, on USA, 7:30. Jamie, it's not 3 o'clock
Sir,
on a Sunday. So it's 7:30 on Saturday night.
That's all you had to say to me.
On USA.
Listen,
I'm in.
I'm excited because
it's been a
while. We need to knock out some Saturday nights before college football kicks in.
Yeah.
So this is a prime. First of all, I wish we were ending the season with some Saturday night races leading into Labor Day weekend where we could crown a champion, but we're not ever going to do that. So it's good to have some night racing on Saturday night.
Yeah, I want to say four of the next races are night races. For the next six.
Sign me up. I mean, I know Labor Day is because that's on a Sunday night, being the Coca-Cola 600, right? No.
No, that's the Southern 5.
Oh, no, that's Darlington. That's right.
Darlington. Yeah.
Okay. Next week is Memorial the Coca-Cola 400.
Yeah, Daytona, the cutoff race or whatever. So, all right, Richmond, real quick, has been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde. You know, we had really good racing back when Dale Earnhardt put Darrell Waltrip into the fence. Then they did the reconfiguration. Everybody still loved it. It used to be the cutoff race before going into the playoffs, and then it became a heat or dud.
It's been an arm scratcher.
Yeah, it's an arm scratcher at one point in time. So I don't know, and Jason, your opinion on this. I don't know if you were over the schedule, would you give Richmond two races?
No, absolutely not.
So I don't know why we have that right now.
I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on with NASCAR. The car, the tires, the schedule. I don't think Richmond is deserving of it.
It's only got one race.
Well, they took one away.
Yeah,
I think take them all away. I don't see.
I don't know that they're going to take them all away.
Sure.
Because you don't have. Because the problem is you don't have that many quote unquote short tracks.
Well, you do. You just won't use it.
Well, you just don't want to use it. But the series normally runs. So they're not going to take it away. The problem with Bristol is they. Whatever they've done with the car, with the repave, with tires or whatever. Now, tire wear will be a factor this week. You'll see guys
Maybe.
Coming and going all week, in theory. But it's the lack of a second groove there.
Right.
It becomes a single groove racetrack, and if you can't run that, then there's just no way to pass the way these cars are currently built. Now, we have seen the last couple. We went through a long stretch where we didn't see very good racing, and then we saw a pretty good one last year. So we'll see how that all plays out, but I don't, you know, I'm always, especially with this new car, I'm always a little nervous when they go there.
I am skeptical.
Kyle Petty's been on fire on Twitter and on the PRN show, and one of the comments that he made when you guys both brought up the car, is that the car hasn't ever been, I guess since the late 90s is when they changed over to where it wasn't a stock car, or maybe early 90s. And so it's been kind of bad ever since, and didn't really understand. If you listen to a little Dale Jr. Download, I think this past week, or maybe it was the Iowa week, really downplaying the car and busting up on NASCAR in general. But, you know, Kyle Petty was like, I watched the Xfinity race and everybody was bundled up and you could pass and you could move people. And Denny Hamlin made the comment that you've got behind somebody, you can make them loose. With this car, you can't. So I think, you know, and Hamlin even made the comment, this was just a snippet I saw, this car is getting to the hatred point like the COT car was, but with the wing. And so I think that it's getting to a boiling point with some of the...
Why can't we just run the Xfinity
car? But it's not just us, right? It's not just NASCAR media. It's the drivers that are in the same boat. They don't like the car because they can't do what they want to do. And so I think that's the thing. I was thinking earlier...
Here's the thing that always gets me is you get these regular Cup drivers get into an Xfinity car and they'll talk to them after the race and they'll talk about how much fun they had.
Right.
I don't know why we can't just run that car.
Yeah.
Why can't we run it? I just don't understand.
It makes no sense.
It makes, because they rave about how good the car is and how much more ability they have to pass and do things in the car than they do the Cup car. I just don't understand it. Some of that could be NASCAR just, hey, we spent years trying to develop this car, being hard-headed, but I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, I could go with the reason that Van Gensbergen's pretty successful is because its car is not far off from what he drives down in Australia on the road courses, or the IMSA cars.
You could make a case.
And so
sure.
I think that's the thing, too. So we talk about it every week. That's
It's like the IROC series.
Right.
Yep. There's not that much difference.
Yeah.
Except for there's just more sponsor logos on, different logos on them. It's wrapped different.
But you would think, though, and you would, in my mind, if we're running a business, and something's not working, you would try to tweak some stuff. And they hadn't really tried to take the whatever that is off the bottom of it, the condenser.
Because they're stubborn.
Yeah, they won't want to do that. So anyway,
they're not going to admit they failed.
That too. So that's the that's part of an issue. They're like politicians. All right, it's time for the Rick Cart Fantasy.
Not touching
standings.
That one.
No. So when we get back, we will break those down and let you know who we got picked for Richmond right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio, sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. ESPN 101.3 or your favorite podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it. Hey, real quick, kind of funny news here. This is where this transfer portal is in college football. Syracuse player enters the portal eighth season of college eligibility. It's the defensive end, David Reese.
It's just become minor league football.
Yeah, that's it. Just get paid, my man. That's all you got to do. All right, so let's jump to the Rick Hart Fantasy Standings, and they're brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team?
Yep.
This is a perfect sponsor for us because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com. For more info, Jason Hildebrand.
All right, the Watkins Glen League Standings. So Teddy O comes away first, followed by Scott Webb, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle, RLM Racing, Loving Left Turns, The Real Lyle, myself, back in eighth. Not too far off, though. Good points, Dave, but
yeah. Yeah.
Place-wise, nah. Going to rattle your cage number three.
It's horrible.
Brandon Gaines, Kevo Racing.
Kevo's really bad.
Untethered Racing, Blake Bull, and Bentley Thomas.
I bet you Kevo used his last stuff last week getting that win.
So, overall, Teddy O leads. RLM Racing, second. Going to ride your cage number three. He's number
horrible.
Three.
He's horrible.
Brandon Gaines, myself.
Brandon Gaines, Garth Brooks.
Kevo Racing, Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Untethered Racing, Loving Left Turn, Scott Webb, Blake Ball, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas. So we're all playing for the playoffs here.
Yeah,
that's it.
The real championship.
Yeah, we can say that.
If
now.
You, yeah.
We're playing for the system. It's the system. That's all it is.
All right. Since somebody crowned themselves champion last year, just winning the playoffs. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm only playing by the rules. I mean, is that is that what not we argued about in the first segment? It's the way it is. So, all right, I've got since it's his home track, Denny Hamlin in the one spot. I got Chris Buescher. Remember Ron Bouchard, Chris Buescher in the second spot. Brad Kay, I'm going a little RFK. We'll see how that goes. And then Joey Logano in the fourth spot, and William Byron in his comeback tour here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I put Tyler Reddick in the garage. That's subject to change. I got Denny Hamlin over Kyle Larson. I got William Byron over Christopher Bell. I got Bouchard over Josh Berry. And I've got Logano over Chase Elliott. I say NASCAR and their betting prowess says that Denny Hamlin is a hot pick. They also say Chase Elliott is a hot pick. Avoid that Kyle Busch guy. He's only had 6 Richmond wins and finished in the top 10, only one of the last 4 Richmond races.
Wasn't he bragging earlier in this show that they think they got some stuff?
They do.
I don't believe him.
I don't either. And then avoid Ryan Blaney because he's only got 3 top 10 finishes and 17 Richmond starts. And Richmond is the only active oval without a top 5 finish for Blaney. He's got an average 19.5. Sleeper, get your pillows out. The sleeper, Chase Briscoe, only driver to finish top 10 in all 3 short track races this season. He led 81 laps at Iowa in the last short track race. All right, if you got a gambling problem, stop. Hildebrand.
I'm going Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe. Toyota's run well up at Richmond. There's big TRD signs up everywhere at that track, so I'm sticking with some Toyotas out there. Going Hamlin over Larson, Bell over Byron, Berry over Buescher, Logano over Elliott.
Can I have a second?
Sure, absolutely.
It's kind of breaking news here from the Daily Downforce. NASCAR Senior VP Elton Sawyer assures fans that officials aren't just sitting still amid concerns over the Cup Series racing product. He says NASCAR is continuously exploring ways to improve cars, engines, tires, and overall competition, especially on short tracks and road courses. And then the full story there, and that's the Daily Downforce. You can go to Daily Downforce.
You think he listens to this show?
I don't buy it.
I think he just heard it on the show.
I don't buy it. He's
been a little tired of us.
Just wanting to get a press, just trying to get out in front of it?
Yeah, right before we, or right as we bash him. So, anyway.
Well, like Jason, I'm Team Toyota this week because they seem to run very fast there. I think the race is even sponsored by Toyota. So, I got Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, Bubba Wallace, Chris Buescher. I got William Byron in the garage, Hamlin over Larson, Bell over Byron, Buescher over Berry, and Joey Logano over Chase Elliott.
Chase Elliott. All right, so make sure you tune in next week as we head to Daytona International Speedway.
For the final race of the regular season.
Final race.
Yeah, that's sure. The one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we'll have to get into some potential playoff talk. There's a lot of guys vying for position, so they got to have a couple good weeks.
You know? Yeah, 48 there too. So, shut up. All right, make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Richmond and get you ready for Daytona. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.